from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 28th, 2011. Jean Fisher is the speaker of this service, teaching on Where God Wants to Take You.
Jean Fisher is going to teach us today. She's from Texas, and I don't know exactly where. I don't know her very well. I just know she teaches the Word. You can't argue with the Word when it comes out of her mouth. You know, just she's a good teacher, and the ones that aren't here, they're the ones that's missing it. Now, here's Jean.
Hello, everybody. I had something prepared, and I just ditched it. It just didn't feel like it was the right thing, so I'm going to kind of wing it. So, maybe it's a blessing I got a smaller crowd since I'm winging it today. So, but there's something I've been feeling for a long time, but I've really been sensing it since I've been at camp. And I just wanted to look at a few scriptures, and then all I really wanted to do was to pray some deliverance for us. So, does anybody here need any more deliverance? I surely do. So, does anybody here discover that they need deliverance more than they thought they needed since they've been here? Yeah. So, well, turn to Genesis 12:1. This is when Carla talked yesterday, she brought up this story about Abraham, and it's been on my heart ever since. So I just want to look at something in Genesis 12:1, and I'm gonna attempt just to speak out of my heart, if that's okay. When I was in college, I was an English major, and actually I really majored in party. That was before I was saved, but they made me declare a major. And since I like to read, I declared English. Well, in English, you have to write papers. And I realized that when I'm asked any time to teach, I always approach it like a theme paper, you know. And it's horrible. So I'm trying to relax a little bit, not approach these things like a theme paper and just like, you know, God inside of me out. So, but in Genesis 12:1, I can get all the way back in my Bible. The scripture says, "Now the Lord said to Abram." Now I want to stop before we go any further. The first word he speaks to Abram here, and I really wish we could go all the way up to here, because all the way up to here the story is about all sorts of different things. It's about, of course, the creation. It's about the fall of man. It's about the nations being divided. It's about the destruction of the earth through the flood. All these different things. And then we come to chapter 12, and chapter 12 is the beginning of our history as Christians. It's like the start of everything. And he starts out by saying, "Now." And this is what got my attention, because God is doing something now. Now. In this present moment, God is doing something. And oftentimes we can miss it because we are stuck in the past with what he has done. Or we're worried about the future. And God is speaking to us now. And he's about to do something new that had never been done before in the history of man. Now, y'all all know Ecclesiastes 1:9. There is nothing new under the sun, right? You hear people say there's nothing new under the sun, right? But if you'll turn to Ephesians 2:4-6, I could point something out to you. I think I got the wrong scripture. Let me see. No, Ephesians 2:4. I think I got the right one. "But God, being rich in mercy," these were scriptures that actually both taught about last night, "because of the great love with which he loved us," why don't we just stop and say that, "because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So where are you now? You're in heavenly places. Do you always feel like you're in heavenly places? But you are. You're in heavenly places. Now, Solomon said nothing was new under the sun. Heaven is not under the sun. So, God's doing a new thing. Right? Everything under the sun is the same old, but not in heaven. And we're seated in heavenly places. So, I want to prophesy over y'all. And this is what's really in my heart, and this is really all I had to say. The rest of this is fluff, okay? But if you'll turn to Isaiah, or don't even turn there, just let me read it to you. It's even better that way. Just sit back and receive it. Isaiah, let me turn there. Okay, it says, and this is for you, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want you to know that that's coming out of the very middle of me. That is God. That is not me. I am doing a new thing, and it means you. It means the church at large. It means you. I'm doing a new thing. What has been, has been. God is doing a new thing. Oh, you want to? It's Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Why don't y'all turn over to Matthew 9, verse 14. I want to read these scriptures to you, and I want you to think about them. It says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples fast? And what the disciples are asking John, they're saying, this is the way we've always done things. This is the way our religion is. This is just what we do as church people. We do this, we do that, but I notice you're not doing that. Why is that? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. When God begins a work by the Spirit, we have to let Him do something totally new. And what we want to do is for Him just to alter our situation or to fix this little deal, but He's doing something new, and we have to let go of what was and embrace what's coming. And I want to turn back to Genesis 12, the story we start with, because this is what's happening with Abraham, and it's a beautiful example of what happens when God does a new thing. And the message that I want to get across to you is, in all that I'm saying, is that oftentimes when I minister to people, they cannot let go of what was. They cannot let go of the way they have perceived the world. They cannot let go of the way they perceive themselves. And they cannot, by faith, allow God to take them in a place beyond their ability to conceive of. And what I'm saying to you right now is God wants you to let go of what you think is going to happen and all the preconceived ideas you have, our religious things that we do to keep us safe and to keep us secure, because He's doing a new thing. And you need to let Him do it. So in Genesis 12, God is doing a new thing. He's starting the story of redemption in Genesis 12. And He starts with now. Okay? So He announces a new era. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, the land that I will show you is all He knows about where He's going. He doesn't have a map. He doesn't have a conception in His mind. God didn't give Him pictures or any of those kinds of things. All He knows is God's saying He's going someplace, okay? And God asked Him to leave behind His country, His kindred, and He asked Him to leave behind His father's house, okay? Now, these things are the very things that we face when God wants to do a new thing in our life and bring a new deliverance and bring us into a new place in the Spirit. And the country is really kind of a type of your culture, okay? Every one of us was born into a particular culture. We're born into, you could call it a class, you could call it a socioeconomic, you could call it, you know, we all were born into something that had a standard that we were supposed to conform to, whether it was high or whether it was low. It was something we identified with, something that gave us an identity. I can tell you from personal experience that it's very different in Texas than it is where I spent my honeymoon in Massachusetts. In fact, it was radically different. I said, you know, it's like being in another country. I've been in other countries, and New England was more different than Old England was in a lot of ways. It's just a very different culture. Not worse, not better. Kind of interesting, different. The people behave different. But I wasn't born in that culture. I was a fish out of water. I'd walk up and speak to somebody, and they'd be scared of me. Well, in Texas, we speak to everybody. You just do, right? But not New England. It wasn't because they were snotty or rude. Just you don't do that up there, right? And so our culture gives us identification. I would feel self-conscious and out of place up there, whereas in Texas, I don't think about anything. So this is one of the things that gives us an identity. And then it says the kindred, and I kind of relate that to a more personal. It's like he's getting more personal. It's the things that I have personally chosen to identify with. I didn't have a lot of choice about being in Texas, but I've chosen my friends. I've chosen my hobbies. I've chosen the clubs, the groups of people that I've hung out with. The things that have made me more unique, that have identified me even deeper. Just the different things that my kindred, my friends. You know, your friends form your identity a lot, and the people you choose to hang out with and things like that. And then he says, your father's house. Well, of course, this is the most personal one of all. Nothing forms the identity that we have of ourselves more than our parents do, and they're supposed to. But even the most godly parent who is seeking the Lord and is walking in the Spirit is not going to do a perfect job of that. And most of us don't have even godly parents. We grow up with worldly parents. And it's like my pastor told me years ago, it's just like, you know, your parents put their thumbprint. You know, the thumbprint's how they identify you. If you're going to ever get in trouble, they'll take your, or want to get a license, a state license or something, they'll want a thumbprint. You know, that's your identity. And it's like your parents put this identity on you, and that's how you think of yourself. And a lot of times they'll do it without even intending to, and sometimes they do it in such negative ways. And not only, you know, we all have dealt with ancestral curses, bloodline curses. A bloodline curse, if you were to take a baby out of the house and take them to another place, they would still exhibit the same behavior that their parents did, even though they never met them, because of the bloodline curses that can pass down. But you know something, the opposite is true too. If there were no bloodline curses, they might still exhibit that behavior because you also learn behavior from your parents. If you just watch somebody always doing something right, and so your identity is put on you by your parents like that. And so what I find is difficult, and what I really want to pray against today, is it's very hard to get people to stop perceiving themselves through these worldly ways, through their culture, through their kindred, and through their parents. So, you know, it's hard not to see the world through the past. And Abraham had a journey he had to go through before he got to the promised land. And transformation is hard. Transformation is hard. But you're going to have a more difficult time with transformation if you do not know where you're going. And what I'm finding, I think what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times when I pray deliverance for people, they don't even know where they're going. And we get deliverance because we're tormented. We get deliverance because we have pain. But what I, you know, what God has made clear to me is He's not satisfied with me just getting deliverance. He has a plan and a destiny for me. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, when I was saved, When the Red Sea parted, I got to the other side and it closed and I was there safely, I would have stayed right there. I was like, oh, safe. But God's going, no, I have a promised land for you. Great promised land. I'm just happy here. And I've got a promised land for you. No, thank you, because I can see that between here and there are a lot of enemies, a lot of pain, a lot of problems, a lot of troubles. I'll just stay here. You know, but what God finally says is you either go forward or you go back. And I'm like, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. So you take that step. And it's a hard step. You have to take a step out of your insecurity. You have to take a step of obedience. You have to take a step to do the thing you don't want to do. You have to forgive that person you really have hated for years. You have to do this. You have to expose your weaknesses to people that you are so afraid are going to reject you, right? You have to stand in a podium and teach the people when, you know, you're really not that kind of, I'm really a shy person. I'm just very happy at home with my cats, right? But God asked me to do this. You do these things. Why do you do them? I mean, you do them because there's a promised land, and God is not going to let you rest until you get there. I want to tell you something, ladies. It's not just about not having the torment in your life. God does not want torment in your life. He hates it. But it's about something so much more glorious than that. It's about a destiny that God has for you that you can't even see. Just like Abram, he could not see the destiny he had. He couldn't see the promised land. He just took that next step by faith. And I want to just encourage you by saying that when God's doing a new thing in your life, it's a little bit more than what you think, what you conceive of, what you believe, because Abram probably thought he was going a few miles away. He had no idea where God was taking him. So, I want to show you in verse 2 where he was taking him. Okay, I want you to leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, the land that I will show you. Okay, great. Good. Well, we're probably going to the next, you know, couple miles down the road, and God's going to do a few nice things for me. But he says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Okay? What God is doing in Abram's life is he wants to bless him. And bless him means to have favor, kindness, and goodness. Okay? He wants to bring favor, kindness, and goodness. Now, this is kind of a rabbit trail. Maybe I should just not go down it. But God's not going to be happy until he brings each one of you here in this room into a place of blessing. Not just out of torment, but a blessing in a place where it says you can bless others. Because that's what he said about Abram. He said, I will make you a blessing, and I will make you a blessing to others. Okay? And so, do y'all want that? Because God wants it for you. And I have a few suggestions I want to give you about how to get there, and then I want to pray deliverance for you. Before you do that, though, I just want to say, there was something I wanted to say. Let's see if I wrote it down. I want to say something about your identity in Christ. You know, I didn't write it down, so I'll have to do this from memory. When I was a new Christian, you have all sorts of, you know, you come into the kingdom with all sorts of baggage, right? That's why we're here. That's why there's a Lake Hamilton. And I always thought that being a mature Christian grown up, the destiny where I was headed was like being good or having it together or being able to minister to others or having an anointing, all the different things that you think it's about to be identified with Christ. And I thought, well, no, you know, you're being conformed to the image of Christ. What God wants is for me to be like Jesus. But my image of that meant was to be really perfect and good, right? But I've learned that, yes, God wants us to be like image, like Jesus, but it's a very different thing than I thought it was. Let's see if I can find the scripture real quick. I really want y'all to understand this because this is what it's all about. Yeah. Matthew 4, verse 17. Jesus has just been baptized. The Spirit has come and rested on him. In verse 17 it says, behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. To be like Jesus means to be God's beloved Son. That's what it means to be like Jesus. It means to be beloved. You know, Linda and I were talking earlier, and the cry of everybody's heart is to know that they're loved. And that's what it's all about. That's where it begins. That's where it ends. There's nothing but details in between. Because when you know God's love, then the Holy Spirit will come out of you and good things will happen. When you don't know God's love, what will come out of you is insecurity, neediness, pride, because you'll need other people's affirmation. You'll need people to feel good about you. Works, 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 because it's not flowing from knowing God's love. And that was Paul's prayer in Ephesians, that we would know the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of God, right? I found myself reading that earlier this month, and what was going on in my mind is I realized that I was looking at that religiously. I didn't believe it. No one could actually know that, could they? The height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the love of God. But why would Paul pray it if it wasn't at least possible? I said, I'm glad you amen. That's exciting. That's exciting to know the height, the breadth, the depth, and the length of the love of God. Now, anybody out here willing to take a step out in faith and to believe that God might do that for us. And I, you know, all I know to do is to call out for Him. And and God knows what's in your heart. Okay? But we're going to ask Him to do that. And I want to, before I do that, I do want to pray deliverance for you. I just wrote some things down that were on my heart that I want to break over each of us. Things that flow out of insecurity. Things that flow out of going through deliverance because we're afraid. Going through deliverance because we don't know God's love. I want you to go through deliverance because you have your eye on the prize. And the eye on the prize is the glory He's bringing you into, the promised land, the blessing that you're going to be to other people, okay? So, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, your word is unbelievable, and that is a problem. Father, break our unbelief. Break our unbelief, Jesus. But the promises, the things that you promise us, Jesus, go beyond our soulish ability to comprehend. Because, God, you don't give us just enough. You give us more than we could ever dream, hope, or imagine, Father. And, Lord, I want a church that reflects the reality of a living Christ, Jesus. And that means a church that knows who they are. A church that is secure in your love. A church that is not straining or striving and not threatened by the people around them who are sinners or are not walking in the things they ought to be. That we can love the unlovable, Father, and not be shaken, Lord Jesus. Not be shaken by this world, which is not getting better, Father. And is only getting more evil. If the church doesn't rise up now and learn to love Jesus, we will not be able to handle. We will fold in ourselves and put up walls and walls the world out of fear, Jesus. And we won't be able to touch them. We won't be able to reach them, Jesus. And I know, Father, Lord, I know that I don't want that, Jesus. I want to have within me the ability to reach out to the lost, no matter how ugly it is, Jesus. To love those that have hurt, Jesus, to be a beacon of light in the darkness that is coming, Jesus. I pray, Father, that your church would be able to do that. Now, Lord, these ladies are all here, Father, as a step of faith because they believe that you have given the children's bread to set them free from the bondages in their lives. You have given them, Jesus, the Word of God to renew their mind and bring them into the realities of the heavenly realm, Jesus, where they are seated in Christ, far above powers, principalities, rulers, and thrones, dominions, Jesus. They believe that, Father. Now, I ask you for a special blessing on each person that came today, Jesus. Each person that came by faith into this place, Jesus. I pray for a special blessing, and I ask you, Jesus, to send angels, Father, into this room. I know they're already here, but ministering angels, Lord, to break the bondages as I call them out. And so in the name of Jesus, I take authority right now over fear. Fear in the name of Jesus. Fear that dwells in the stomach, that dwells in the midst, so that there's not freedom, so that there's not a flow of the Holy Spirit. I break the power of fear in Jesus' name. I break, I push, I shove that off their spirits in Jesus' name. The fear of rejection, the fear of being hurt once again, the fear of being betrayed, the fear of failing and having others reject them for it, the fear of failing and rejecting themselves for it because they don't know what it's like to have unconditional love. The fear of stepping out and finding and that you won't be there if they step out, if they won't step out of the boat, if they won't step out in faith, the fear that you will let them fall in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the bondage. I take authority of it all the way back to its root, the abandonment, the rejection, the unconditional love of them, and I break that in the name of Jesus because their parents are no longer their father and mother. You are, in Jesus' name. They have a new identity in Christ, and you will never leave them. You will never forsake them. You gave your word. You would never leave, and you would never forsake. Now, I pray, Father, that the security of that would replace the insecurity of our own parents' abandonment and failure in our lives, Jesus. Come. Come, Lord. I break the power of fear. I break the power of insecurity, of neediness, of looking to other people for their security and for their identity, to needing other people's approval and other people's affirmation to be able to walk securely and feel good. I break it in the name of Jesus. I pull that down. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. I break the lying spirit. The lying spirit I perceive that whispers in their ear that break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You lying spirit that whispers insecure thoughts, fears, intimidation, lies about themselves that make them want to hide themselves and not be open to the body of Christ and to the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I bring you down from your high place over these women's lives. In the name of Jesus, I break a lack of confidence. I break the ability to truly have faith in Jesus' name. The fear that keeps people shrinking back and not walking out in faith in all the things that you have for them. I break the power of self-image that is wrong, a wrong self-image that keeps these women from being well-adjusted, secure, and stable in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you and I pull you down in Jesus' name. Anything that keeps them from being secure in the reality and the truth of who they are, in Jesus' name, I break the power of emotional instability. I break the power of anxiety in Jesus' name, low-grade anxiety in Jesus' name. Did I get it all done? Did I do it right? Am I going to make it? Is it going to happen? Is so-and-so going to come in? Am I going to fail here? Am I going to make enough? Do I have enough within me to make what is demanded of me? Is there enough inside of me to make what the world is demanding of me? Am I going to fail? I break the power of that in Jesus' name. I break anxiety in the name of Jesus. The lie, but I speak to you, Satan, right now. I perceive you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power of self-consciousness in Jesus' name. Self-consciousness, where we just can't lose ourselves and be free in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break self-conscious and clumsy in Jesus' name. I rebuke it. I rebuke every word spoken over every lady here in Jesus' name that would make them self-conscious, the ways that was put on us by people pointing out to us our less attractive features, or pointing out to us the things about ourselves that they don't like and make us conscious of them and self-conscious. I break the power of those things over each person here in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I loose right now in the name of Jesus the unconditional acceptance of Jesus Christ. There's not a woman in this room that is not beautiful to Him in every way in Jesus' name and does not need to be concerned in the least about how she appears to Him. I break that over these ladies in Jesus' name. I break legalism in Jesus' name. Sticking to the rules because they make you feel safe. Sticking to the rules because they are something you can hide behind and you're afraid to step out from behind them in Jesus' name and have to trust. I break the power of legalism in Jesus' name. I break every religious or legalistic spirit in this room in Jesus' name. And I command you to go. There is freedom in Christ Jesus, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed in the name of Jesus. Every fear of failure that would cause us to resort back to the safety of rules, I break the power of that in Jesus' name. I break the power of opinions and high things and arguments and high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Things that the ladies aren't even aware of. Ideas and opinions in their minds that are not from the Spirit of God. I break the power right now. I pull those things down over each lady here in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I break any need to conform to other people's ideas of what we ought to be in Jesus' name. I break the power of this unhealthy conformity, the need to be what other people think or see in Jesus' name. I break the power of unhealthy conformity in Jesus' name. I break the power of perfectionism. If I don't get it right in Jesus' name, if I don't do it perfect in Jesus' name, then all will be lost. All will be rejected. I break perfectionism. I loose you in Jesus' name. You are free. You are free to make mistakes. You are free to learn. You are free to grow. You don't have to get it right every time. You are free. Step out there. Fall down and get back up in Jesus' name. Live, live, live. I speak life to you in Jesus' name. Live in Jesus' name. We break bondage that keeps us from being free in Jesus' name. To step out, to dance, to walk, to live, to love, to take chances again in Jesus' name. I break the power of perfectionism in Jesus' name. Have to get it right in Jesus' name. I break the power of pride in Jesus' name. Fear of people seeing our weaknesses. I break the power of pride in Jesus' name. Trying to perform, trying to live up to a standard that was put on us in Jesus' name so that we won't feel rejected or hurt. I break the power of every prideful spirit, every spirit that exalts itself above a brother or a sister in the Lord that gets its security from feeling superior in Jesus' name. And I break the family line curse that's in so many families of pride and pride of life in Jesus' name. I break the power of that. I break walls inside of people. Walls in Jesus' name. Walls that have been erected to keep them safe from feeling hurt again, but they just keep the spirit out. I break walls down inside of people in Jesus' name. Loose them, loose them, loose them, loose. Let the river of God just flood those walls and bring them down in Jesus' name. I break any reclusivity, any place people hide, any place people are not free in the name of Jesus and hide behind walls or try to keep themselves safe and are afraid of relationships in Jesus' name. I break that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Come, set these ladies free. Honor their faith. Honor them, Jesus. Come, rest on them. Do a new thing like you've been promising. Bring a new anointing in their life. Bring new faith, Jesus, in their life. Bring new freedom to them, Jesus. Freedom that they've never had before. Freedom to be themselves and not worry about it in Jesus' name. To trust you with Lord, any corrections that need to be made, you're more than able to make them, Jesus. Come, Lord, come. You love us. You love us, Jesus. Your chastening is for love. It's not for punishment, Jesus. It's not for rejection. It's because you love, and you're going to perfect us to the day of Christ Jesus, and you are very able to do that, and we don't need to do it ourselves, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. I break rebellion in people. I break any rebellion that's still resident down in there in any one of us in Jesus' name. Little, I will do it my way. Little, my way or the highway attitudes that we have in Jesus' name. Little ways where we just say, I'll take this one. I'm in control. I will not let someone else be in control. I break control in Jesus' name. Witchcraft control in Jesus' name. Whether it's just over our own lives or if it's spread and we need to control others, I break it in the name of Jesus. I break the power of witchcraft. I break the power of rebellion. I break the power of I will be in control of my own life and will not let the Lord in any way that's in any of us. I break it in Jesus' name. We just give you our lives, Jesus. We just give you our lives, Jesus. Just by faith, Father, take over. Any place we're still in control, you show us that we can let go. Thank you, Father. You are Lord. You are Lord. In Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit and you would give these ladies a vision. A vision in Jesus' name. In the Spirit. Spiritual vision, spiritual purpose, Jesus. Spiritual hope. Hope. I break discouragement in Jesus' name. I break the power of discouragement in the name of Jesus Christ. The hopelessness. I rebuke you, hopelessness. You are the biggest lie of all, and I hate you in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of hopelessness over every lady here in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Hopelessness. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I break condemnation in Jesus' name. Voices of condemnation and shame. I rebuke you. I break your power over every lady here. Condemnation, shame. God could never forgive me. I can't forgive myself. I break the power of that over every person here in Jesus' name. I break the power of every curse spoken over ladies that they're still laboring under, that they can't just get out from under word curses. You'll never this and you can't that. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of those word curses in Jesus' name. I break the fear of receiving love in Jesus' name. I break the fear of opening their hearts once again in Jesus' name. I just ask you right now, Lord, that you would come with the boldness of the Holy Spirit to make them bold to open their heart to receive love from you and from others in Jesus' name. All the walls that block your touch, your ability to hold them, your ability to cherish them, your ability to be tender, tenderness towards them, Jesus, your kindness and tenderness, the hardness that builds up in us as ladies when we've been abused, when we've been hurt, and we can't receive love, and we can't receive the tenderness of your touch, and to receive how precious we are to you, and how much you cherish us as ladies in Jesus' name, and just the sweetness that you regard us with, and the passion, even the passion that you have for us scares us, and we don't receive it. Lord, I just pray you would loose every lady here to receive the love that you have. It's a personal love. It's a passion. It's not a generic I love. It wants to go behind every wall and touch the innermost parts of who we are as ladies. I just release that. I release that in each of their lives, Jesus. Every lady wants to know the love of a man, Lord Jesus, and not every man can give that, but you can. You can fill that need for us, Jesus, where the men have failed us, Jesus, where we've never found the right man, or the man that we have is so damaged by the devil that he couldn't touch us in that place, Jesus, you can do it, Father, and I release that. I release that in Jesus' name. I break the fear of being alone in Jesus' name. I break the paranoia and the fear of being alone, the fear of rejection and abandonment in Jesus' name. I break it in this room in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. More. More, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd break every hardness in our heart, Jesus. Every hardness in our spirit. Every hardness over our mind that keeps us receiving the truth, Jesus. Every area in our heart that is calloused. Every area in our heart that we've put up a protection. Every area in our heart where we have, and we think we've forgiven, but there's still something there, and it causes a hardness in Jesus' name. I pray that you would break the power of every hardness in this room in Jesus' name. Every hard place in the name of Jesus, I pray you would break it in the name of the Lord. Come, Jesus. Come, Lord. We lift our voices up to you, and we say, Father, God, we do not have enough. We are hungry and we're thirsty, Jesus, and we lift up our voice to you, Father. It's not that it's not all been given to us, Jesus. It's that our souls have not been able to apprehend it all. And we pray that you would make a bigger place in our hearts, Jesus, to receive the love of God in Jesus' name. And its height, its depth, its breadth, its length, the love of God, Jesus. We cry out to you for that, Father. We want to know it, and the only thing that would ever keep us from knowing it, Jesus, is the enemy, and we cast him down in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that when we leave this room, we have a new freedom to love each other in Jesus' name. A new freedom in the name of Jesus to affirm, to approve, to edify, to build up, and to not tear down in Jesus' name. A new freedom to trust. We don't have to all agree. We don't have to all believe the same things in the name of Jesus, but we are in Christ, and we can love each other and build each other up. I pray you would release a new freedom into this place to do that. I pray we would let go of all the little standards we have, all the little hoops we make people jump through before we can love them and accept them and be their friend. And I cast that down in Jesus' name. And I pray for a new spirit in this place of power, the power of the Holy Ghost to love in Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Ghost to not hide from each other because of the fear of what each other will think in Jesus' name. Lord, you say that you will exalt every low place and bring down every high place, that you'll make every crooked path straight, Jesus. And I pray that in every rough place smooth. I pray that that would happen in this room now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your power. Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that our wildest dream is not wild enough for you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray as we leave that you would seal the things that have been done, Father. I pray that you would increase the things that you have done, Jesus, that you would water each seed that's been planted. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would increase your place, the place that you've made in each lady as we've prayed today. I pray, Father, for greater and greater anointing, Jesus. And I speak the peace of God in Jesus' name over each life here, over each soul here. The peace of God on you today. The shalom of God in Jesus' name. I speak that. I speak the unconditional love and acceptance of the Father over each of you in Jesus' name. I speak nothing but good things for you in the days to come. The path goes only upward, ladies. Only upward, in Jesus' name. And I ask for a spirit of wisdom, Father. For the enemy is a devouring lion, and he does seek Jesus, but he is a defeated foe. So I just pray for wisdom to discern him, Jesus, that he not take advantage, in Jesus' name. And I pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.